Jai. This we're on chapter 30, text number 7. The gopis search for Krishna, asking the trees and now the plants and flowers. Kachit tulasi kalyani govinda charana priye sahatwali kuler bibrad drishtaste ti priyo chita. Translation: O most kind Tulsi plant Devi, to whom the feet of Govinda are so dear, have you seen the infallible Krishna walking by this way, wearing a garland of Tulsi leaves and mandris and encircled by swarms of bees? Alikula. Alikula means, Ali means bees and also means gopis. Ali. Preshta alibi sevyamanam smarami. In the pranam prayer to Radha Govinda Dev, situated at the Vrindavan Mahayogapit, Dibyad Brindaranya Kalpa Jumadad Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanasto Srimad Srila Radha Govinda Devo Preshta Alibi Sevyamano Smarami Preshta Ali. Surrounded by their dearmost chief and main sakis and mandris and the 24 petal configuration of the lotus at the Yogapit with the 4 digdwaras, so there's 28 sakis there. And in the middle, there's Radha and Krishna. So there's 29 sakis and Krishna. So this is Alikula. Kula means family or swarm or group. Gurukul, the family of the guru. So Alikula. So all the bees are buzzing around Krishna's tulsi mandris on his garland. The gopis are seeing this and they're mentioning this. And Jiva Goswami Pad, he mentions in his tika on this verse number 7, he says, in the first line, it says, Kachit Tulasi Kalyani. You must have heard this name before, Kalyani. It's a name for Radharani. Kalyani means, O most auspicious one. So they're addressing Tulsi because the word Tulsi itself means incomparable or auspicious. Tulasi. There's no tula. Tula means to measure, to weigh. Tula, some people are what we call Libra. Libra sign in the astrology in Hindi is called tula, the balance. So they're saying, oh, Tulsi, you're so fortunate and you're so auspicious. You're Kalyan. It's translated here as kind one. So Jiva Goswami, he comments on this first word in line 1. Kachit tulasi kalyani. Kalyani means auspicious or fortunate. By addressing Tulsi as Kalyani, the gopis are saying in essence, O Kalyani, Tulsi, please, because you're Kalyani, please make our birth auspicious and fortunate like you. O Tulsi, will you be kind to us and show us where is Krishna? And Tulsi, you're so fortunate because Govinda Charana Priye, Govinda Charan Priye, because the feet, you're so dear to the feet of Krishna, because Tulsi is, Krishna is always sitting there on the feet. They say, Esha Tulsi, Idam Sachandanam Tulsi Patram, Kling Govindayanama, Kling Krishnayanama, Kling Radharamanayanama. And you put one mandri between the big toe and the second toe, and one mandri between the second toe and third, and third and fourth. So there's 4 mandris between the 5 toes in the 4 spaces on the right and left foot. So it's 8 Tulsi Dal, as they say in Bengali, Tulsi Dal. We say mandris, dipped in chandan, and they're ornamenting Krishna's feet and look very, very beautiful and very auspicious. So Tulsi is always caressing the lotus feet of Krishna, Govinda, Govinda Charana Priye. And that's what they want. Because you are dear to the feet of Krishna Govinda. Then Shiva Goswami comments on line 2, Govinda Charan. He says, when the gopis glorify Tulsi as Govinda Charana Priya, dear to the lotus feet of Govinda, the word Charan also means respect. So they're saying, oh, Tulsi, you're very dear to Govinda Dev, and you're respected by Govinda Dev. He Charan, because Charan can also mean respected, Govinda Charan. And Jiva Goswami Pad, he explains this word Charan by citing one Sanskrit phrase, Acharya Charana Vadanti, which means the respected Acharya speaks. Vad, like we say, Maya Vad, or that's the Vad actually means the speech or the talk or the philosophy of the Advaitins. Advaita, we say Advaitavad. Advaitavad or Mayavad. Advaitavad means the words, like vach, uvacha, vad, means the words and speech of the Advaitin philosophy or the Dvaitavad. Advaitavad and Dvaitavad. So this is the Acharya Charanam. So I added to this. And it also shows the gopis are showing respect to Tulsi with great humility. They're saying, oh, Tulsi, you're Kalyani, you're very fortunate, and we're not Kalyani. You're Kalyani because you're always with Krishna, and we're not Kalyani. We're missing Krishna. Krishna never leaves you, and you're always embracing Krishna's chest, and the arms of your leaves and manjaris are wrapped around Krishna's beautiful conch shell neck. And your arms are resting on his chest, and your manjaris are sitting on his feet. So we want the same fortune. So this Swami Charan. So we say, Sridhar Swami Charan, Sridhar Swami. This is what is told in Gaudiya Sampradaya when they're speaking about the revered commentator, Vaishnava commentator, who is actually a Vaishnava at heart, although he took sannyas from the Advaitin Sampradaya. He's an Nisringa Bhakta. And he said that they address him as Swami Charan. They don't even say Sridhar. And everyone knows Swami Charan, that means Sridhar Swami. We offer respect. We offer our Charan means respect to the Swami and also to his lotus feet. So Jiva Goswami reminds us, Acharya Charana Vadanti. Acharya Charana. The respected Charan Acharya spoke or speaks. So they say, the gopis go on further and they speak in the last line, Drishtasteti Priyochuta. Achuta. Again, the word Achuta. So in this case, Jiva Goswami is saying, the gopis are saying, oh, Tulsi, you are very dear to the king of Gokul, and Gokulanath. Since Krishna loves you, he has affection for you. And you're so dear to him because Krishna always wears your mala, your garlands of Tulsi. And Krishna can never ignore you because he has such love for you. So by this statement of the gopis, they're hinting that Krishna has great affection for the gopis also. They're saying, oh, Tulsi, Krishna loves you. He loves us also. So even though the garland is surrounded by bees, the saha, the twali kulir vibrad, Krishna wears it. So usually if you're wearing a garland and one bee is buzzing around or buzzing around your lotus face, and you're at Prem Sarovara, and sitting on the lap of your beloved, and your name is Radharani, and then you're, oh, shoo, 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 get this bee away. And then they chase away the Madhusudan, and then a whole another Leela evolves from that, Prem Vaichitya Leela. So we would be disturbed if one bee was flying around us, What to speak of swarms? It says kula, ali kula, ali kul. Swarms of bees, and the gopis are saying, and Jiva Goswami is saying that the gopis are saying, Krishna, oh, Tulsi, you're so fortunate. Even when swarms of bees are flying around your beautiful transcendental mandris, those little purple flowers and white flowers that give such an extraordinary otherworldly fragrance, which actually sends the perceiver to another realm of perception just by smelling the beautiful Tulsi flowers offered to Krishna. And he said, look, and Krishna could say, oh, he doesn't even take you, even though there's so much opposition and so much distraction and seeming annoyance from those buzzing, because they're not only gathering around, there's swarms means thousands. When a beehive, when a family, when a kula, ali kula, when they swarm, it's 100,000 bees. It's like an entire city. So Krishna has one lakh of bees buzzing around. The swarm means lakhs. Thousands of bees buzzing around. And what about the sound it makes? Wow, talk about generators. And multiply it by 5,000. And Krishna's walking. Oh, it's nice. And he plays his flute too. And they play together. Krishna plays ascending and descending notes on his flute. And the bees go, So they enjoy. Because Krishna, everyone serves the cause of Krishna, whether they be a bee Ali or a gopi Ali. Ali bee or Ali gopi? Or Ali me? Ali me, Ali gopi, Ali bee. You got it? Where do you key in? Are you Ali B or Ali Gopi or Ali Me? Ali Me means Manjari. So Achyuta. So even though the garland is surrounded by bees, Krishna doesn't let it fall off. So this is a very interesting meaning. Shiva Goswami Pad is describing. We've heard many variations on the meaning of the infallible one. In the Bhagavad Gita, Achyuta means one who does not fail. But here we find out is one who does not remove the garland of Tulsi flowers from his neck, even though he's surrounded by millions of bees. So this is one meaning, because achyuta means to, chuta means to fall, and achyuta means to not fall. So Jiva Goswami is expanding us. He says, the gopis are saying, why are they saying, drishtaste pi priyo chuta? That Achyuta is very dear to you because Krishna has so much affection for Tulsi that he never drops the Tulsi malas and the mandris that are adorning and beautifying Krishna's lotus feet. They never fall off his feet. Someone says, what is the meaning of Achyuta? Achyuta means that the Tulsi mandris that the gopis and Radharani offer to Krishna's feet, they never fall off his feet because they're not material, they're not functioning by the material laws, because why are the Tulsi leaves and manjris bonding and sticking to Krishna's feet? Because they're placed there with love. And when it offers something with love, it never comes off. Love is permanently binding. So when Radharani decorates Krishna, or the Sakis decorate Krishna, or even the coward boys in Nandagaon, with all their love, and there's Sakya Rati and Madhurya Rati, Shringhar Rati, Idam Sachandanam Tulsi Patram, Prima Patram, Idam Sachandanam Tulsi Prima Patram. So that patram, that leaf, is full of their love, indelible mark. So Jiva Goswami points this out, and the gopis understand that. You are Achyuta. So you never leave the feet of Krishna. Your mala, the string on your mala never breaks. Sometimes you make a mala and someone wears it and goes toot, it breaks. But you never fall because Achyuta is wearing you. And similarly, so we're saying you're Achyuta, Tulsi, because you never fail. So don't fail us. Don't fail to respond to us. And don't fail to respond to us and tell us where Krishna is. And don't fail to show affection to us, because Achyuta is one who never fails, one who never fails to show affection. So similarly, the gopis are saying, hey, Tulsi, please bless us that Achyuta shows us unfailing affection like he's always showing you. So these are some beautiful insight by Sri Jiva Goswami, Swami Charan. And now we see Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and he has his commentary. Approaching Tulsi and Malati and other plants, the gopis are thinking, these Tulsi plants are female and they will understand the agony of our tender hearts and surely be merciful. So let us inquire from Tulsi, because they approach the Ashwat and Plaksha and Nyagrodha and the Ashok and Nag and Punaga and Champak and all these trees, which are male by gender, and as like most males, they're hard-hearted and they didn't respond and they were silent. Some of them had good reason, because they're Vishnu and Brahma and Shiva, and they're very sober and silent, and they don't easily respond to the requests of some simple girls from the village. I'm Brahma. And the gopis are thinking, you're Brahma, but Radharani dances on your head, because your four heads are the Char Parvat of Barsana, Vilaskara, Mangar, and Dangar, and where the main one where Radharani is. But that's another point for we Brijavasis. But anyway, according to Shuka Muni and the Srimad Bhagavatam, they did not reply. But they thought, well, let's go to the tender side. If the father doesn't respond and give you money, you go to the mother. Have a better chance.
Yes.
Then if that doesn't work, then grandpa. Or then that doesn't work, then grandma. So you're bound to score. You have four choices. So the gopis are approaching then. You'll be merciful to us. So thinking like this, they say, oh, Tulsi, you're Kalyani. You're very fortunate. And you're very dear to the feet of Govinda, Govinda Charana Priye. But we are Akalyan. Akalyan means we are unfortunate, because Krishna has left us. The phrase Govinda Charana Priye can also mean dear to the respectable Govinda, because the word Charana indicates respect. So they're both saying the same point here. And he repeats also Jiva Goswami's. He says, the word charan indicates respect, as in the expression acharya charan, respectable teacher. And the gopis are expecting that Tulsi will reply by saying, you gopis are also Govinda Charana Priye. You gopis are also dear to the lotus feet of Govinda. And the gopis say, yes, Tulsi, that's true. You're more fortunate than us because you have many attractive qualities. One of the most attractive qualities that Tulsi has is you're never experiencing separation from Krishna. You're always on his feet and embracing his chest and around his neck. What could be more desirable for a lover of Krishna? And the gopis want that fortune. Similar points to Jiva Goswami. Carrying you around his neck as a mala, Krishna has gone off and left us alone. This proves the magnitude of your good fortune. There's another angle Vishnu is showing. He left all of us, but he didn't take your mala off or take you off his feet and say, oh, I'm leaving all the gopis, and Tulsi is also female, so I'm going to leave Tulsi also. So they said, listen, you know, he didn't leave you. He went, at this point, they don't know that Krishna went with Radharani. So you're the only girl he went with. The only female he went with is you, Tulsi. So you're really Kalyani. So as per his expertise, he's expanding it, making it even more personal and special in that way. Jiva Goswami Charan Ki Jai. Encircled by bees, Ali Kula, implies that Krishna carries you, even though that means he has to ignore the disturbance created by thousands of bees. Thus, we must conclude that Krishna is fond of fine fragrances like you possess. And he has not accepted us because we don't smell so good. It's so funny. The gopis are a little humorous. Tells you smell so good, which I was pointing out. The Krishna, oh, I love this smell. Oh, gopis. It goes away. It's very, Vishnu Chakravarti is so intimate. He's so, at the same time, he's so funny sometimes. And especially when he's, you know, recounting the dialogues of Krishna and Arjuna. There's some very funny exchanges there. In the middle of this battlefield, and heads will roll and blood will flow and millions will die. And here they are joking on the, joking together on the chariot. Senayor ubayor madhye, senayor ubayor madhye. Krishna Arjuna commands, starts off with the Gita by commanding Arjuna, please take my chariot. O Sarathi, take my chariot, senayor ubayor madhye. Take my chariot to the middle of the armies. Senior, like Senapati means the commander of the Sena armies. I want to see who has arrayed here for this battle. So Krishna took that order, but after a while he started giving the orders. Once they pulled up there in the middle. That was also very good, because if they stayed on one side, off to one side of the battlefield, then the other heroes on the other side couldn't hear the gata. So that was also, then there was equal opportunity, because now Krishna's chariot and Arjuna's chariot is right in the middle of the two armies, so on both sides they can hear with equal volume. So those that had the adhikara and the interest, they heard. And those that have a deaf ear, as they say, they could not hear. There's a phrase in English, a man hears what he wants to, or a woman. A person hears what they want to, and they disregard the rest. Oh, you're so nice, you're so smart, you're so intelligent. And then after that, you say, but you're this, that, that. And you walk away. I don't remember that part. I remember, oh, I'm so this. I don't know in your country if you have such an idea. So Vishnath, he says that that's what he says. Very nice point about the bees and even though he brings out the fact that, okay, Tulsi Priya, she's very Priya to Govinda, that he won't even remove the garland, even though the disturbance of the bees. But another reason why he's not removing the garland, because Tulsi Manjari smells so good. It's like, okay, I don't care. It's just like someone is, you know, the bees are stinging you, but you're eating burfi. You don't care. I mean, if you're relishing something with one sense perception, then you don't even care what's happening on another side. I mean, a classic example in the village is that one dog is what he thinks enjoying another dog. At the same time, three other dogs are biting in the pieces. His competitors are biting him, and blood is flowing down his body, but he's too busy under the illusion that he's enjoying. This is Maya. So this is connected. So now, let's see if there's a few other points we can say. Firstly, I wanted to make one small glorification of Bhaktivedanta Swami Charan. Because we're hearing, time to time, we're hearing Prabhupada's commentaries on these 10th canto verses, which have been gleaned from the Krishna book. They're easy to find there. So when I was concluding yesterday, which I forgot to mention, Prabhupada's commentary on yesterday's verse about asking the different trees, he said that This is chapter 30, verse 6. The Brajagopis were aware of the reason for Krishna's sudden disappearance. They could understand that when they were enjoying Krishna, they thought themselves to be the most fortunate. Interesting, Prabhupada says, when they were enjoying Krishna, because our general angle of vision is they're enjoyed by Krishna, Purusha and Prakriti. But of course, being enjoyed by Krishna means you also enjoy being enjoyed by Krishna. And it's such enjoyment that Krishna becomes amazed. How is it that my sevites and my servitors like Radharani, my beloved Radharani, I'm enjoying immensely, unlimitedly, Purnatam, Purnatam Anand, Purna Anand, complete unlimited bliss in the association and in the intimacies and being with my beloved Priyaji Radharani. But I see that her happiness and her bliss is even greater than mine, and she's simply serving my every wish and whim and desire as the enjoyed, and I'm the enjoyer. So for that, to solve that mystery, Krishna appeared as Mahaprabhu. That's one of the reasons. What is the sukha, the happiness that she feels by pleasing me and serving me? But since they were feeling proud, Krishna disappeared immediately to curb the pride. So I made a small point of glorification of Prabhupada that we shall read. So this is Prabhupada's commenting on the verse, chapter 30, verse number 6, about the gopis and Krishna disappeared because of their pride. And this was, and then he says, then Prabhupada takes this leela of 5,000 years ago of the gopis, very high, intimate leela, ras leela. Then he brings it to the everyday rank and file, you and me, devotee. He says, Krishna, Prabhupada says, Bhaktivedanta Swami Charan says, Krishna does not like his devotees to be proud of their service to him. Krishna accepts everyone's service, but he does not like one devotee to be prouder than another devotee. If sometimes there are such feelings within a devotee that he feels I'm a Sankirtan devotee, or I'm a big devotee, you're washing pots, you know, you new bhakta. If such feelings come inside a devotee, Krishna ends them. He ends those feelings by changing his attitude toward the devotee. As you see, Prabhupada is using the word attitude, abhiman, mentality, way of thinking, way of feeling. Because your way of thinking and your way of feeling is a way of seeing and the way of speaking. The way you think about yourself and others, and the way you feel about yourself and others, is the way you see others, and the way you treat others, and the way you speak to others. So that foundational point, beginning point of our social intercourse in this world with others is based on attitude. And the whole idea of Bhakti Bhajan is a reformation and transformation and elevation of one's attitude. Bhava Grahi Janardan means that Janardan, Ardan means worship. That personality, that jana, that personality is worshipable and worshipped by everyone all over the universe and all over creation. Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Bhava Grahi Janardan. Grahi means the sar, the essence. Krishna accepts the essence of the bhakta. It's not about money, it's not about tapa, it's not about sankhya. It's not about sankhya means three million rounds and one chickpea a day, all these things. It's about bhav. Bhav you are, bhav you become, and bhav is tested at the time of death. So it's about the bhav of devotion, attitude. So many sankhyites in the name of bhaktas. So Prabhupada's commenting here, so this is what I want to make a point about. Prabhupada has a special way of giving commentaries on the Bhagavatam or any scripture on Krishna Leela or any shastras in general. Most all other Mahajans, Acharyas, like Srila Sanatan Goswami, and Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sridhar Swami Charan, Vishnath Chakravarti, and all the great commentators, they will discuss only the shloka, the meaning of the words of the Sanskrit verse, and the lilas and the tattvas, without connecting those tattvas or truths of the subject to the reader or the devotees. They stay on the subject and they speak to the reader or devotees. They stay on the book and the verse and the points therein. But Srila Prabhupada is the first commentator on Vaishnava Shastra and Srimad Bhagavatam and Gita. He's the first commentator to open up the Shastras for everyone's benefit by showing the relevance and usefulness of different teachings and leelas of Krishna for the modern people of today or now. So following Srila Prabhupada's lead, we try to do the same. So sometimes in our attempt to create the relevancy and create the meaning, to draw a message or the meaning or relevancy of the leela and the teachings, well, we try to see a teaching in a leela and share it with others. And also we see sometimes other acharyas do this rarely and occasionally. They make some philosophical point, although they never really contemporize it. You will see in Prabhupada's purport, he talks about the hippies or all kinds of things. Very, at that time in 1970s, 1970s and 68, 70, there were these different, he really talks about the politicians and many, many things. So, of course, this is the tattva vichara, the consideration of philosophical portent and meaning and application in our everyday lives. In other words, people often ask a question when they're beginning any new endeavor or reading any book or doing anything. Sometimes people ask, what's the benefit for me? What do I get from it? So I wanted to make that point. Now, a small comment on this verse 7. I'll just read the verse in translation again to get our bearings. Kachit tulasi kalyani govinda charana priye saha twali kulayar bibrad justas teti priyo chuta. And Srila Prabhupada's translation we'll read this time. Chapter 30, a 10th canto, verse 7. The gopis address Tulsi Devi. Oh, dear Tulsi Devi, you are very much beloved of Sri Krishna because your leaves are always at Krishna's feet. So we want to start off our small comments on this verse by quoting a verse from Padma Puran. In Padma Puran, Krishna glorifies Tulsi Devi on her birth, on the occasion of her vivaha. She was some vivaha marriage of Tulsi with Narayan, I believe so. Maybe on Kartik Purnima, something like that. Kartik Purnima, then it's the vivaha of Tulsi and Narayan in different temples, I believe, like Radharaman, and the traditional temples around Braj Mandal. They will celebrate this sometimes with great pomp and ceremony. So what did Krishna say? He said, Krishna Jivani Nandani. O Tulsi, Krishna Jivani Nandani, Pushpasara Tulasi, Vishwapavani, Vishwapujita Brinda Brindavani. A very beautiful prayer. And there he's saying, Krishna Jivani Nandani. O Tulsi, you are the very life of Krishna, and you give him such bliss. Tulsi, we're glorifying Tulsi because the verse is Kachit Tulasi Kalyani. O Kalyani Tulsi, O most auspicious one. And now by the mercy of devotees, some devotees gave us some Tulsi and then they attracted so many other Tulsis, and now you turn around behind you, there's your family. You see that? And this one? And behind the house also. First, in the winter, we made this throne for Tulsi. We had some pink stone lying around. So we made this backdrop of pink stone, putter stone, and the man did the mystery. The worker did what he could to make it look like a little dome, and it was like that for many months, nothing, waiting for the season. And now Tulsi has come and said, "Oh, you made such a nice asthan for me." And she's filled it up quite nicely. And we've given away about 30 Tulsis also. And there's Tulsi there and behind me, they're everywhere. It all started with the seva of one devotee. So this is the power of seva. It goes on and multiplies in many directions when it's done with a pure heart and a pure motivation. So this is a great glories of Tulsi, Krishna Jivani Nandini, Pushpasara Tulasi. Oh, Tulsi, there's so many flowers. There's lakhs and lakhs of flowers in Vrindavan. But you're so dear to Krishna that he always wears you. This is the Rasa dance, remember. We're describing the Rasa dance, which is the epitome of all the Leelas. We hear in other Leelas, Krishna's wearing Tulsi, Mundri garland. It even says in Sanskrit, maybe even with the coward boys. I saw that he even says Tulsi Mundris in the Sanskrit. Maybe it says Tulsi flowers, I forget. But it's the signature of Krishna. So this Pushpasara means that Tulsi is the essence of all flowers. And there is a statement, although it's not generally observed, that if there's a mala offered to Krishna without Tulsi in it, then it's not accepted. Because Tulsi is the essence. You may have juhi or mogra or a jasmine or rose or kadamb, so many flowers, but without Tulsi. And I don't know how long you've been coming to Vrindavan, but up until recently, maybe still now, when you would go to Banki Bihari Mandir or to Krishna Balaram, some big temple where there's lots of people and lots of malis selling malas, garlands, they take your garland, they put it in a leaf plate, and they have a big pile of Tulsi, and they put some Tulsi on the top of it, and they give it to you. Because they know, because this is the Shastra rule, that when you offer mala, there should be Tulsi on the mala. It should be in the mala, but they don't put it in the mala. But when you offer it, you offer the pata, the leaf plate, or what we say, with the rose garland and the Tulsi on top. Do they still do that? Yes, someone's saying. Because I haven't been in Vrindavan since 8 or 9 years, or at that temple since long. I haven't noticed. So this is why she's called Pushpasara. She's the essence of all flowers. Vishwapavani Vishwapujita. Vishwapavani means that she purifies the universe. Whatever Tulsi is, from Vaikuntha to Swarga to the rooftop of your house in South Ex, Delhi. Tulsi is purifying wherever she is. A Brahma Bhuvanaloka. She's very Vishwa Pavani. She's Pavani means Patita Pavana, purifier of the fallen. So she purifies the entire universe by her presence. So Tulsi, they say, Prabhupada once said that when he came to Los Angeles, he visited the Tulsi house. They made a big greenhouse for Tulsi. And amazing. And Prabhupada went there. They showed him. It was about 30 meters long and 5 meters wide. It was big. And all pots and fans and all kinds of arrangements. Tulsi, it felt like you were in a tropical rainforest when you walked in there. They're bathed every day and such wonderful care, unbelievable. We used to chant our japa in there. It's supposed to be in a temple, but I cut out. I went there because I wanted to be in Vrindavan. It says in the Puranas, wherever in the world Tulsi is growing, anywhere in the world where Tulsi is growing, the soil, what we call soil, or the earth in that pot is considered Brajaraj because Tulsi is from Vrindavan. Vrindavan means the forest, means many forests, Vrindavan. So she, at one point, this in some Puranic story, there was a daughter of some king, I believe, her name was Brinda, and she came to this place and did intense austerities here for some purpose. And then the daughter of the king, and she was, I suppose, some type of bhakta. I don't remember the details. It's in the Purana. So she did so many austerities that the entire forest became named after this princess, Brinda. So it became Brindavan, the forest of Brinda. Sometimes they say Brindavan means a forest full of, the whole forest is full of tulsis. It's not quite correct, but it's a nice idea. There's certainly a lot of tulsis in the Brindavan. And there's so many, because then, you know, Brinda did these austerities, and then she, Narayan became her husband. There's all many of these chronic stories, this million years and here, there, and they go in every way, which way. So she's purifies the whole universe. So Prabhupada walked there and he saw how healthy the Tulsi was. And then he said, oh, Tulsi is the health. You can measure the quality of bhakti of the devotees and the bhakta by the health of Tulsi. Tulsi is the barometer of bhakti. Barometer is barometer is an instrument for measuring atmospheric pressure. What is the humidity? 70% humidity, 50%. So the measurement, the measuring stick for how much devotion or any devotion. Because some devotees, they try, even someone told me, I met them from Delhi. I said, do you want a Tulsi plant? Oh, every time I get Tulsi, I try to grow her, but she always dies. Some people say that. They always die. And I say, okay, interesting. Maybe your bhakti is 0% humidity. Because Tulsi grows everywhere and anywhere if there's devotion. In Alaska and the Antarctica, and North Pole, she will grow if there's devotion. So can't blame it on living in Siberia. You can blame it on you. Oh. Vishnu Pujita. Tulsi is worshipped all over the universe. That's obvious. Let's see. Krishna Jivani Nandani Pushpasara Tulasi Vishwa Pavani Vishwa Pujita Brinda Brindavani. So, of course, she's Brinda, and Brindavani is named after her. So, we want to mention that in our opening comments. And then they went to the trees. The gopis approached all these trees, auspicious, beautiful trees of Brindavan, but the trees, seeing that the tree, in other words, the question can be asked, why did the Braja Gopis approach Tulsi? Why? Because they went to, it only mentions a few trees. They went to Ashwat, O Plaksha, O Nyagrodha, which means a type of banyan, O Kurabaka, Ashok, Nag, Punaga, Champak. That's a few trees, 6-7 trees, but there's 50, 60 trees, at least 50 or 60 trees listed in Govinda Lilamrita in the Braja Dham. So they said, why? Because the trees were silent. Every single tree was silent and unresponsive to the gopis. So they thought, well, let's go to Tulsi, because unlike these trees, Tulsi is exclusively dedicated to worshiping Krishna. And unlike these trees, which are male, Tulsi is female like us. She will be more sympathetic toward the love of a young lady, young ladies like us. But after they inquired from Tulsi, where have you seen Krishna? And seeing that she was silent too, then the gopis say, oh, Tulsi is so proud of her Kalyani. Because it says, Kachit Tulsi Kalyani. Oh, Tulsi's silent too. She's puffed up. She's also proud because of her fortune, her Kalyan. Her position. Because why is she proud? Because she's always with Krishna, lying on his chest and on Govinda's feet, Govinda Charana Priye. Thus, Tulsi doesn't know anything. She's not speaking because she can't sympathize with us. Why can't she sympathize with us gopis? Because she doesn't know what it feels like or what it feels like to be separated from Krishna. Just like Krishna's flute. Krishna's never separated from his flute. He sleeps with his flute in his belt. And he eats with it. He walks with it. Maybe bathing with it too. He holds it in his hand. Because Krishna doesn't have to do anything when he bathes. So he just holds it like this so it doesn't get wet. And then the gopas do all the rest. And it says in Govinda Lilamrita, there's some young sakis there too at the time of bathing. And Mother Yashoda says, oh, they're just young. They're just little girls. It's okay. They can bathe my lala. So those little girls are like, you know, Tulsi Mundri and Rupa Mundri. the Mundris also get to go to Nandagram in the morning for different purposes, to serve Krishna on behalf of Radharani. They're bathing Krishna and also to collect the latest Dainik Jagran. Dainik Jagran means the morning news. Good morning news. So they get the news and then they go and speak to Radharani and Parsana before she comes to Nandagram to cook for Krishna. So this is, Tulsi doesn't know what it feels like because she's always like the flute, always with Krishna, because Krishna sleeps, but Tulsi's on his feet. So when he bathes, maybe she doesn't fall off his feet either. Can't say. Obviously, she comes off his feet because Krishna wants her to. She doesn't want to leave Krishna's feet, but Krishna tells her, says, listen, my devotees are bathing my feet. And so they want to drink the water of my feet after the bath. And they want it to be flavored with a tulsi and a chandan. So you please now serve my devotees. So Krishna so much wants to please and serve the devotees. So Tulsi, she slides off Krishna's toes into the bath water and flavors the charanamrita. So then many things happen because then the devotees get a chance to touch Krishna's feet again. Or maybe a different devotee. One day Tulsi Mundri put the Tulsi charan on Krishna. And the next day Malika Mundri put the Tulsi on there like this. The next day Malini. So different sakis and mandris take turn and bathing. It all depends on the meditative mood of attachment and rag of the devotee who's practicing that type of smaran. So I'm making this point. So Tulsi doesn't know. Moreover, like any lover, she's safeguarding her own position. And moreover, like any lover, Tulsi's not telling. Where's Krishna? If I tell them where Krishna is, then Krishna will start loving them and maybe neglect me. No, I'm not telling. So Tulsi, like any lover, she's safeguarding her own position with Krishna, and she does not want to give it up. Because Tulsi is now embracing Krishna's neck, and Krishna's gone away and left all the gopis. But he didn't leave the Tulsi. So she's thinking, when Tulsi doesn't reply to the gopi's inquiry, then they're thinking, oh, I understand. She's keeping Krishna all to herself, and she's safeguarding her position, because if she tells us where Krishna is, and we go and find Krishna, Krishna may, when he sees us, he'll be so excited to embrace us that he may take off the Tulsi mala so he can more tightly embrace us because of the separation we've both been experiencing from each other. Because surely he's as anxious to meet us and embrace us as we are to meet him and embrace him. Which is a fact in separation. Both lovers are pining for each other, but one is pretending not to. Man. That's Nishri. So this is some comments on verse 7. So then we'll read the verse again. Kachit tulsi kalyani govinda charana priye saha twali kulera vibrad dristas teti priyochita. One thing also I want to mention, because we are saying sometimes that about this Radha Krishna Yuga concept, and that if you, a different way to see the verse, Shukamuni is saying one point and the Acharyas are bringing out different points. But I wrote a small note here. I mentioned before, I will talk about this, Radha Krishna Yugal. In other words, the verse may be only talking about Krishna, or it's Radharas Siddhanidhi, and the verse is only glorifying Radharani. But the choice of words in the verse, the words indicate the presence of Krishna in the pada of the verse. In the lines of the verse. So this is, there's also A very nice one here. It's very clear. Two times it's clear in line number two and line number four. Govinda Charana Priye. There's Govinda and Priyaji. So Priyaji is always massaging the feet of Govinda. Govinda Charana Priye. Priya is Radharani. So the dearly beloved of Govinda is always cherishing his lotus feet in her heart. Then the last line says, Priya Achyuta. And that's even the general sequence that the Shakti precedes the Shaktiman, Sita Ram, Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. So it says, Priyaji and Achyuta. So in so it says, Dristaste pi Priyochita. And the translation is that, it says, Atipriya. Dristas Atipriya Achyuta. Oh, the gopis are saying, Tulsi, you're very dear. You're Atipriya. Tulsi, you're very dear to Achyuta. We can see that. But we can also, if we take the yuga concept, separating from the context of the verse in Tulsi, that Achyuta, when he sees his Atipriya, when Achyuta sees Atipriya, says, Jistas tepi ati, jistas ati priyochuta. Achyuta Sri Krishna, when he sees his dearest of his dear, because there's priya and ati priya. Ati is a prefix, a modifier, which means excessively, completely, absolutely dear. The dear one, the dearest one. So when Achyuta sees his dearest one, he's very happy. And I just made a note because I was sharing this concept. It's a subjective view. It didn't originate with us, but I was remembering one sant told me long ago, and when I was staying in Sevakunj, came to Prabhupada's rooms, and he said he knew Prabhupada, and he used to meet him there in his room. And he said, someday you will read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and you will see Radha and Krishna in every verse. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the direct personal form, the sarup of Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So the Bhagavat, and that's even in verses, it generally says the Bhagavat, because it's Srimad Bhagavatam, means the Srimad Sri Bhagavan, means the beautiful form of Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. But Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, because what is the title? Each canto has a title. What does anyone know what the title of canto 10 is? Don't know. It's called the summum bonum. That's a Latin term. I don't really know what that's the translation of the Sanskrit. I wonder what it is. But it says that you can read in the front. You can see it says summum. This is not part one. You have to see part one. Anyway, it's there. Each canto has a title. One is called Shristi. One is called Shristi and about creation, etc. So summum bonum, it means... The bona means the complete sum total of good things. Like we say bonus. Bonus means good things or benefit or blessing, extra. So the sum total of the whole Bhagavat. In other words, this is the summum bonum. I mean, this is the summary. This is what it's all about. This is the essence. This is the essence of the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. The summum bonum of the sum total. You've heard this term. When we add up all these figures, or what is the sum total? So summum bonum means of all the bonuses and of all the good benedictions and good things that are offered and all which are literally and specifically offered, sprinkled throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. If anyone reads the Rudra Gita in the morning, he gets this benefit. If anyone has trouble with ghosts, if they recite this chapter, they get in the morning, they'll get free. Many things are there in Bhagavat benedictions. Karmic blessings. So here, this is the complete sum total of all the essence of Bhagavatam. The summum bonum of the Srimad Bhagavat. The Srimad Bhagavat is about Bhagavan, and the summum bonum is all about Krishna in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. Krishna Leela, especially Vrindavan. So the best thing is presented first. So the topmost supreme Sringharati of Krishna is presented in the first part of Vrindavan Leela, which is subsequently followed by Mathura Leela and Dwarka Leela, which are considered Purna, The Leela in Vrindavan is Purnatam because it's a complete absolute sweetness, Ati Ati Madhurya Bhagavan, with a sprinkling of Aishwarya, or grandeur of power and godhood. But when we go to Mathura, the sweetness is somewhat subdued, so it's called Purnatara Leela, and there's also lots of Aishwarya there and less Madhurya. And we move on to Dwarka Leela, and it's called Purna Leela, because there is Purna Bhagavan, and in Mathura is Purnatara Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, and Vrindavan is Purnatam Bhagavan, and the subsequent Leelas. So the Leelas in Dwarka are complete, and nice, lots of sweetness and lots of grandeur and opulence. But the sweetest of the sweet is Madhurya, Sri Krishna, Leela Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, and Vrindavan. This is Samam Bonam. So this is the point that someone said, someday in every verse of the Bhagavatam, because it's Srimad Bhagavatam is a direct form of Krishna. So he said every verse, and it's so that's how, he didn't say more than that. It was like a sutra. And after so many years, quite a few years, I'm seeing what, at least in the 10th canto, which is my primary area of study, I'm seeing that over many years, that there they are. There's the Nayak and the Nayak, whom we are worshiping, with our man, tan, and pran. There's no dan. I'm a beggar. Man, tan. We say man, tan, dan, guru samarpan. Man, tan, dan, Krishna samarpan. With my mind and my tanu, my body, and my wealth, which I translate as assets. Your assets, your talent. Oh, I can sing, so I worship Krishna by singing in the bathroom and singing in the kitchen and singing in the car and singing on the motorcycle as I drive down the street. So this is assets, mantandan. So it can also be, if you have nothing, no talents, no assets, mantan pran. And ultimately, that's the real thing, because the gopis, they're only serving Krishna with their pran, which includes everything. Pran is the entire existence. So let's go to verse number 8. We'll read verse 8 from chapter 30 of 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Malatya darshi va kachin malike jati yutike pritim vo chanayan yata karasparshena madhav. Translation: the gopis are madly and frantically searching for Krishna. They're coming to their wits' end, going from tree to tree and flower to flower and tulsi. And it's interesting because first the gopis went to the leaders of the trees. The leaders of the trees are the Vishnu tree Ashwat, and the Brahma tree Plaksha, and the Shiva tree Nyagroda, which is the banyan. And then after that, they went to the first level trees, the masters and rulers of the forest, who were appearing as Ashwat, Plaksha, and Nyagroda. Then they went to the second string, the second class of trees, the Punaga, the very glorious and grand trees also. Punaga, Shok, Naga, Champak. And then they said, okay, we're not having any luck with the trees. They're all male. They're all puffed up. They're proud. So now let's go to the plants and flowers. So who is the ruler of all the plants and flowers? Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. So that's why we mentioned that verse in Padma Puran. Krishna Jivani Nandani, Pushpasara Tulasi, Vishwapavani, Vishwapujita, Brinda Brindavani. On the Tulsi Vivaha Utsav of Tulsi's marriage to Narayan, and then on that special day, Krishna offered this prayer to glorify his most beloved Brinda Devi, Tulsi Devi. And that's there. So in that prayer we mentioned Pushpasara Tulasi, because she is, and this is this sequence of Shukla Muni's presentation and of the Gopis Krama, or sequence of which plants they're approaching to inquire about the location of their lost lover. Even this verse reinforces Krishna's prayer by saying, Pushpa Sara Tulasi. Rather, that Tulsi is the essence of all flowers. So therefore, in verse 7 of chapter 30, first the gopis approach Tulsi. She's the queen. She's the queen of the flowers. As it said, if a garland is there but there's no Tulsi, then Krishna won't like. So as you know, when you buy a garland from the malis in front of the temples, they give you a leaf plate and a mala and sprinkle Tulsi on it. And then you offer it to the Thakurji because they know that rule. Because the pujaris know the rule also. So if the garland would come in, the pujaris would say, we won't take it. They would say, where's the Tulsi? I don't know about modern pujaris, but sometimes they would give me, because I didn't know, I learned by experience in this one, and then also later with Shastra. I purchased garlands in Bunki Bihari and different places, and I go to there to offer it. Where's the Tulsi? Tulsi? Oh, no, this is a rose mala. No, Nehoga, back. I won't take. So I go back and say, where's the Tulsi? Oh, because he was thinking, oh, he's Videshi, he doesn't know. So I'll save some money on Tulsi. You know, like usual. So I went back and then I came back and they take. So this is, it all works together. There's a Shastra, then the Brahmins are supposed to know and uphold the Shastra, and then they pass the order on to the other Varnas, like the Malis who are Sudras. Well, you're making the garlands to make money in front of the temple, and unless we accept them, unless we as the Pujaris accept them and offer them to Krishna, then you don't have a job. Don't have any money. So then one way or the other, they learn by tradition, but it all started with Shastra and the Brahmins who live by the Shastra and worship the Thakurji according to the Shastra. So when you go to Radharaman and they have some Malis selling garlands there, do they also give you Tulsi? Yeah. She's saying yes, she's saying no. Anyway, I was getting a little Tulsi eyes there. So let's stay on this verse. So they're, oh, Malita flowers, oh, Malika, oh, Jati, oh, Jutika. Oh, Malati, oh, Malika, oh, Jati, Jutika. Has Madhava gone by here, giving you pleasure with the touch of his hand? Kara Sparshena Madhav. So obviously, all these verses that the gopis are addressing to the trees, and especially to Tulsi and the other flowers, there's what we call Parokshavad. Parokshavad is a very beautiful way of hiding a meaning inside the external phrases. And that internal meaning or unspoken meaning is parokshavad. The words or unspoken meaning is actually more relishable and more meaningful than the direct meaning of the Sanskrit shloka. So we can see that first they're talking about Tulsi. You're around his neck, you're on his feet. And then here they're saying, oh, flowers, Madhava is touching you. So what are the gopis saying? We want, as I mentioned already in our discussion of verse 7, the gopis are saying, Tulsi, your leaves and the arms of your leaves and flowers and manjaris are wrapped around Krishna's neck and you're lying on his chest. So we want to wrap our... We're not Tulsis, we're lotuses. We're not Tulsis, we're lotuses. We have lotus stem arms. We want to wrap our lotus stem arms around Krishna's neck and place the lotuses of our, let's say, bodies on Krishna's chest, like you're lying there. You're lying there as a Tulsi Mandri, a Tulsi Mala. So we want to lie on Krishna's chest. And now they're saying, oh, Malati, Malika, Jati, Jutika. Karasparshena Madhav. Madhav is touching you? So they want to embrace Krishna, they want to be on his feet, they want to massage his feet, they means the gopis, and they want Krishna to touch them. You see? It's very nice. So externally it's all flowers, but because this is what they're thinking, where is he? And so there's just saying, they could just say, oh, flowers, have you seen him? Has he gone this way? Why are they using this way? Karasparshena Madhav? This is very personal. They're personalizing all flowers. It says the flowers, because these are also gopis' names. Malika is the name of a gopi. These are all feminine names. I don't know about Yutika and Jati, but Malika and Malati are definitely name of gopis, and Manjris also. Has Madhav, Kara Sparshina Madhav. So it's very sweet. So let's see what Sri Jiva Goswami Pad is saying on this verse, number 7. There's so much in the Bhagavatam. There's so much in these verses. We only have access in English because of our limitations to Vishnath's commentaries. Excuse me, Sri Jiva Goswami Charan and Sri Chakravarti Pad, Vishwanath, and Srila Prabhupada. And we give some words also. But only these three comments are available. And there's at least 11 that are accepted and studied and spoken on by all the Vaishnav teachers of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he says in verse 8, Sri Jiva Goswami Pad says, from the response of Tulsi in verse 7, which was, of course, like everyone else, silence and nothing, the Brajagopis think that because Tulsi proudly feels she's respected by Krishna, she does not speak. So then they ask the flowering shrubs, and all these are small shrubs and plants, who are servants of Krishna, and they don't have any pride because they're bowing down and offering their flowers to him out of great agitation. Because you see, Tulsi grows straight up, and she doesn't bow down. She just goes straight up and stands nicely. But these other, you can see we have them, when they grow like a mogra plant or jui, they grow unless you support them. They can become like creepers unless they just droop down. They just fall down with their flowers. They just fall down to the ground, so you have to support them. So they're saying that they're humble. They're not proud like Tulsi. Tulsi's standing there. See how she stands. But the Malikas, we're tying them up there. These are mogras, and we're holding them up and making them kind of go up in a... So they say that. They don't have any pride. They're bowing down and offering their flowers to Krishna out of great agitation. It takes one to know one. So because Sri Jiva Goswami Pad is Vilas Manjari, Nitya Siddha Parishad of Radharani and Krishna, she's right there. She's in the Rasalila. So she just, when Jiva Goswami Pad is commenting, he just enters his alter ego. He enters his other identity as Vilas Manjari, and then in Samadhi enters the Leela. So it's very easy for him to perceive the feelings because he's Bhav Taratmika with Radharani and all the gopis. So it's easy for him to know what is the position of their minds, what is the condition of their hearts, what are they feeling. So that's why he says, right here he says, because the gopis are full of agitation, they call out each flower individually. Although it's listed in a line here, Malati Malika, and we read it, O Malati, O Maliko, Jati, O Jutika. He's saying that they're saying, oh, Malati, one flower. You know, where is Krishna? Has he touched you? Karasparshena Madhav. Oh, Malika, Karasparshena Madhav. So they're one by one, they're going to the flowers. Have you seen him? Did he touch you? So the Brajagopis surmise that the flowering shrubs and these plants, Amalati, Malika, Jati, Jutika, they must have seen Krishna because they see the marks of Krishna's hand on the plants. So the gopis have x-ray vision. They can see Krishna's fingerprints on the leaves of the plants. Of course, can they see? This is the question. Jiva Goswami says they're seeing, so we say they're seeing. The transcendental Prem Lochan, they're seeing. Because they're in Vibram, we say so many words. Shukamuni saying the gopis are Vibram, and then they're Pramad and Unmad, Vibram, Pramad. all the words he's using to describe the gopis, none of them indicate that they're sane, and none of them indicate that they're in a balanced, proper mental functioning. They're all mad, excessively mad, completely, absolutely mad. So when you're mad, you can see anything. You can see anything and everything and speak anything and everything. So the gopis are seeing fingerprints that aren't there, and they're speaking to trees that don't speak. And they're hearing them answer also. Did you hear that? And they're doing a psychoanalysis on the different entities. Oh, this tree is puffed up. Tree is puffed up. Tree is proud, dumba, darpa. This is a quality of a human being, not a tree. I mean, Lord Chaitanya, he thought the trees were quite opposite of pride. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used the tree to cite the tree as tree, the generic, the whole family of trees or whatever. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified them as the role model, as the role models for the quality we all require so dearly, or we all especially require. Trina adapi sunichena taror iva suhishna amanina amanidena kirtaniyasa. Oh, the trees are so humble. They bend down their branches and they don't talk, they don't complain when we cut their branches and all these things. So Lord Chaitanya is saying the trees are very, very humble, and we should be humble like the trees. But the gopis are saying, no, these trees are proud. So, and you are proud. You are proud like the trees. So don't be proud. Be humble like the trees. So for Lord Chaitanya and all of us, the trees are humble. They're the role model of humility. But for the gopis, they're puffed up. They're proud. They won't speak. They won't answer. And it's because they're male. Tamal Baba and Neem Baba and Banyan Baba and Pleksha Baba. This is very, very nice. Jiva Goswami Pati knows this. The reason that Krishna likes flowers, just as he likes the spring season, he's commenting on the word Madhav, because Madhav means spring, and it's also in spring season all the flowers blossom and it becomes very beautiful. And Krishna's name is also Madhav, because for Krishna it's eternally spring, because he's always blossoming, he's always fragrant, he's always beautiful, he's always fresh, like the spring. So he's Madhav. So Jiva Goswami is saying, the reason is that Krishna likes flowers just like he likes the spring season. That's why he's called Madhav. And when it says Karasparshena, the touch of Madhav's hand, it means that Krishna plucks, I mean, he plucks the best of flowers with his hand. So the Braja Gopis are saying that he's picking the best of the flowers with his hands, but Krishna, he's not marking us or touching us who are his beloveds with his hands. And since he's gone, we are suffering greatly. Karasparshena Madhav. So this is a very nice commentary by Sri Jiva Goswami Pad. And we'll continue tomorrow with a commentary of Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur on verse number 8 of the 10th canto, chapter 30. Gopis search for Krishna, Rasa Krita, Krishna, Krishna Vesana. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai.